Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, I want to talk to you today about how God changes us. How many of you need change in your life in some area? Say amen. Well, there are three stories. Number one, there is Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And I heard you coming, and I hid. There is the story found in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, about how a strong man takes your house, and how a stronger man guards the gate so that you never get further down the road with God, so that you never have the healing you need. And I need some more monitors, please. Then there is the story of Luke chapter 15, verse 11, that talks about the prodigal son and about his walk and his journey of coming back to God. I want to explain something to you about these two trees. I want you to understand that if you really want healing, it's going to require three things. If you really want change in your life, it's going to require three things. Number one, it's going to require that you feel your own emotions, that you go through self-discovery. I was amazed at the first service. The first service is growing in leaps and bounds. And there's a family that was at the second service last week. And when you meet someone who's been healed, they talk differently. When you meet someone who's had victory obtained, they walk differently. They react differently. When you meet someone trying to fake change, they spiritualize it or minimize everything. Well, it's okay, they didn't mean to do that. And they say things like, well, if you just have the Spirit more, or you pray more, and they spiritualize everything. But yet you know that just something's off about them. But those people who walk up to me over the last 37 years of ministry, and they say to me, my name is John, and I want you to know that I had to come to grips with my shame, and that one day I woke up in a pig pen, and I decided that I wasn't going to live this way any longer. So I gained the tools to know how to deal with the things I was trying to medicate. And they talk about this self-discovery, about how I realize that every time my mother mentions my father, I get angry. And every time I felt rejected, it reminded me of him. And they begin to get in touch with their emotions, and there's a self-discovery that goes on that brings freedom. Now, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, in the charismatic or evangelical community, we're taught if you get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, it's over. We're taught that if you get saved, all your problems are going to disappear, and you're going to be Superman, and you'll never have to worry about kryptonite ever again. But how many of you in your walk with God would say, I know that's a lie? It's not true. No, it's not true. What happens is God asks us to go back into our journey and enter it in with faith that God is going to help us self-discover why we've been sabotaging our own success. Why we've been doing that. And it's actually related right here, ladies and gentlemen. And number two, if you want to change, not only do you have to feel your own emotions, you're going to have to be able to express your inner world. There's going to have to be a self-expression. A couple walked up to me at the 10:45 service last week and began to talk, and I was stunned at their ability to self-express their lot in life, where they're at, where they're going, how they feel. There was a sense of maturity to their speech. And many people don't understand that when you go through trauma in life, it causes you to be speechless. That's why when you go through something like something tragic, you always end up hearing someone say, I just don't know what to say. It's because it brings you to the breach of speechlessness. Trauma and tragedy does in your life. So you don't know what to say. What God does is he gets involved as you self-discover the things that are setting you off according to his word. And you apply that word, and then he begins to bring you on a healing path using suffering to bring you joy. Now, you will never hear a TV preacher say that. But that's exactly what he'll do. He'll make a fool out of your enemy if you stay with him long enough. Somebody say amen. And so there's ability. I watch with those people. There's ability to self-communicate. Now, I think it's interesting that one of the things that was damaged here was the ability to communicate. They walk with God in the cool of the day with the tree of life. After they sinned, it took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They began to try. They had trouble communicating. Over here, communication was normal. Over here, communication is difficult. That's why people curse all the time. You want to know why people use curse words, vulgar curse words? It's because they don't have the ability to express their anger in any other way. Then there's this, you grow into this self, this ability. If you want change to happen, you have self-discovery, you have self-expression, and you have the development of self-protection. Self-protection looks at your uncle who has borrowed money from you 20 times, said he's going to pay it back, always mentions that he went to a revival last week, and he's never paid back a dime, looks straight ahead. You get abused because you don't know who you are in Christ. If you know who you are, you will never let another human being abuse you as long as you live. And we get abused because we let people abuse us because we don't know who we are. There are some uncles that need to be told no. There are some children who need to say, I've cut it off. You're not getting another dime. Why'd you act this dysfunctional in our family? There are places and times in your life where you got to stand up and you got to do something right for yourself. You got to give yourself some care. Some of you parents, all you've done is try to give kids that never appreciated the care in the first place more care. You feel guilty because you don't show your alcoholic mother enough of care. And in the midst of taking care of everybody else, you've lost yourself and you don't even know who you are and you're being abused and you feel guilty for saying no when God says, I created you to love yourself and I created you for you to have life and have it more abundantly. You do not have to be somebody's slave that refuses to change. And so when you look at the two trees, you see that in the first tree there was a desire for God. All my desires were to please Him. My desire was to spend time with Him. My desire was to bask in the presence of His holiness. My desire wasn't wrong. My desire wasn't wayward. It didn't go awry. My desire was Him. But after you eat from this tree, you start getting other desires. Desire to be rich and the desire to be liked and the desire to be full and the desire to please yourself and the desire, you'd start desiring all kinds of things. And then what happens is after you've exhausted the tree of the desire of desire in the tree of the garden of good and evil, then you come up empty because you realize that none of that satisfied in the first place. And so the desire originally was for God, and because you thought someone was lying to you, because you thought God was hiding from you, because you thought that looked a little bit more pleasurable than this, you turned around and you ate from this tree, and you desired the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Your desires changed and you came up a wanting. On this tree, there's passions and there's pleasures. And there was passion between two married people. There was pleasure between two married people. There was passion for God, passion for work, passion for life, passion for pleasure, passion to enjoy life. After all, He said, I'll give you life and give it to you more abundantly. There was passion there. Passion. Do you know how you've changed trees? How to know you've really changed trees? Look at your passion. Let me tell you what you say. You said on this tree that you'll never say on that tree. Let me give you language to help put it to where it belongs. When you're over on this tree, you enjoy life. You don't try to escape it and medicate from it. When you're on this side, and what does it mean to be on this side? That you go to church? No. Does it mean that you worship? No. Of course you do those things. But how many of you know you can worship God? You can pray 4 hours a day. You can fast and still come up empty with God. Because Christ and Christianity is not an institution. It is a relationship with a holy and a loving God. And when your heart turns back to Him, He'll awaken your desires for the right things rather than the wrong things. You know what you never say on this side of Eden? And I've said it. I thought, why did I say that? You've said it. You say, I'm bored. Of course you're bored. Rather than repentance, you've chose penance. I'll fix this. You get into religious. You ever notice that some of the biggest junkies, and I mean no disrespect, people who have just medicated to the point of death, the big junkies. You ever notice that the deeper they go into depravity, the more religious they get? But that's the problem. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Over here, you enjoyed life. Over here, you're bored with life. Over here, there was pleasures that were fulfilling. Over there, there's pleasures that are not fulfilling. You've tried everything on the tree, and you're still hungry and thirsty and naked. And so the problem here, ladies and gentlemen, is that over here, obedience was motivated by love. And there was no shame in the nakedness. And we loved life. Let me tell you one of the big things. This is so simple, I feel guilty for preaching it, but I know it's going to set you free. Over here, we love life and we never wanted to escape it. Never wanted to numb it. Never wanted it to go away. Over here, ladies, we saw our bodies as good. Men too. Over here, there's something wrong with our bodies. We're too fat, we're too skinny. Our eyes aren't right. My eyebrows need to be plucked more. I need to have makeup put on electronically. It's just always wrong, but over here, there's nothing wrong. We had not embodied shame, that we were pleased with our body, that Adam and Eve, as married people, were pleased with each other's body. And then over here, there's always something wrong with the body. You see, over there, there was no anger. Over here, you never went into a fit of anger. Over here, you didn't lose it with your wife over a Christmas tree. You ever got in a fight? Now, let me see your hands. Just be real today. This is surgery this fall, and nobody likes surgery. I get that. But the end result is going to be amazing. Anybody in here ever got a fight with your spouse, and you got angry and you lost it? Can I see hands? I'm going to lift my hands. There's certain people who say no, and I just don't know whether I believe that. I believe them, but I'm just saying. The problem is there was no anger over here. There was nothing that set us off, but over here we get contemptuous, and contempt means we get down on ourselves. We say, you know, I'm stupid. I can't believe I gave her another $7 for a can of beer. We say, I can't believe I did that again. I promise God I'll never. We get contemptuous with ourselves. Anger turns inward, and we condemn ourselves. And then we condemn God. You, God, are the one who made this woman for me. We get angry at God. Now, after Eden. No, before Eden, see, there was honor and dignity over here. And there's one thing that I've noticed about people who get deeply screwed up is that they lose self-dignity. There is something wrong when you can go for weeks and not wash your hair, not brush your teeth, not take your trash out. There is something wrong when you get so comfortable living in a house with a squatter. You go to church, you pay your tithes, you might shout a little bit because it makes you feel better, because for some people, shouting it nothing more than self-medication, disassociation with drugs. And God says, you know what? I love when you shout over me, but what I would really like for you to do is have the courage to address the guard at the door that's blocking your emotional health. That every time you go to these certain places in your life, you run because you can't take it anymore. And what it's done, it's set up these feelings of despair, these feelings of anger. You ever wondered why every time you see your sister, you get angry? You ever wondered why every time you think about your brother dying in a car wreck, you feel like contempt for God? Have you ever dealt with your emotions that are strangling you? Have you ever dealt with jealousy over your wife? Have you ever dealt with fear? Have you ever dealt with being contemptuous with yourself, how you feel the emotions of hatred towards your own self, how you feel the emotion of hatred towards God? Have you ever really dug down? I know you can shout and run around, speak in tongues, do 3 flips, and then you feel better about yourself. But the problem, within 30 days, there will be another trigger about living in squalor. It's something you squalored with that you're going to have to face. And true victory will not happen in your life until you kill the strong man. And there's the place. When you eat of the wrong tree, there is hope here and there is no hope here. There's hope that God will do something in your life, and over here there's despair that this is all that there is and you've come up empty. You see, we desire everything before God, and that desire has left us empty. The passions and the delight and the pleasures have left us wanting more. It's kind of a strange thing, because over here you didn't want anything else. And the first thing Satan did to tempt you was to cause you to want something else. And the way he did that, according to Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, is that he used your eyes, and he used desire, and he used pleasure. Isn't it interesting that the things that bound you are connected to pleasure? Isn't it interesting that the things that are sending your soul to hell are the very things you use to numb your soul? But if you were wise and you were to confront the strong man, Luke chapter 12, verse 11, that's at the door, you would begin to tell that strong man that you're no longer going to dictate how I feel about myself and about what God is doing in my life. You get to the point where you're tired, you're exhausted, you numb yourself, you disassociate, you shame. But let's talk about the strong man. Everybody go to Luke chapter 11, verse 21, real quick. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21. And 12. The complete defeat must precede the act of plunder. In other words, if you're going to defeat and have completely defeat the strong man, you're going to have to totally plunder him. In other words, God has no desire whatsoever to give you half of a victory, to give you half a peace, half of pleasure in the right way. No. You either make up your mind to desire God and get out of hell, or you make up your mind to continue to be religious and try to juggle the two and be absolutely miserable like the older son, or you make up your mind, I'm not spending another day in my life, in this world, this way, because he died on a cross so that I might live and have life more abundantly, and I believe what the Word of God says to me. If you're going to defeat the strong man, it requires a bigger, stronger strong man than your enemy. Because Satan does his best work invisibly. It's usually our emotions that get the best of us. But there's a squatter at the door. And every time you get close to getting victory in your life, your marriage gets better. You get angry at each other and you start the same cycle over again. Every time you get close to somebody and you begin to open your heart and be vulnerable, somebody hurts you and you start the same thing over again. I'm here to tell you, whom the Son has set free, they are free indeed. I'm here to tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I'm here to tell you this morning, you serve a great God. You don't serve a God that halfway heals you. You don't serve a God that halfway defeats your enemy. You serve a God that put the enemy underneath his feet. You serve a God that made a public spectacle out of the enemy, according to the Apostle Paul. Victory is in your DNA. Victory is in your blood if you'll only learn how to get out. Do you understand that emotions, and I'm just setting it up for the answer and for deeper introspection next week, that's going to get to where you really want to be, because last week and this week is nothing but a knife. And nobody likes surgery. I have learned as a pastor what minor surgery means. It means they're working on you, not me. But I've also met a lot of people, like the guy in the pig pen that said, I'm not staying here one more moment in my life. I've met a lot of courage people. It's not most of them, but it is some of them that said, I'm done with the squatter. I'm done with something stealing my joy. I'm done with all this trash in my life. These boyfriends that don't pay for nothing, that always want to borrow money. Away with you. These women in here that all they want is sex and money and they don't love me. They love what I have. This fear, I've had enough of it. Envy and desire, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I have finished. I'm done. No more squatters in my house. I'm cleaning the house, and strong man, you better eat your Wheaties because you are going down. One of us is going to stop by the end of this year. I'm not going to live in depression anymore. I'm not going to live in despair anymore. I'm not going to live in lack anymore. I'm not going to live feeling like I'm not good enough. I'm not going to feel the desires for evil things again. I'm not going to submit to the pleasures of evil things. I have made up my house, my mind, that as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And it's time for the squatter to go. It's time for you to go. I'm going to learn how to handle fear. I'm going to learn how to handle doubt. I'm going to learn how to handle jealousy. I'm going to learn how to handle depression. I'm going to learn how to handle it. It's been handling me. Now I'm going to handle it. And we'll get to it later. But where's that start? It actually starts with the fact that whatever's going on horizontally is actually going on vertically. For love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You don't love yourself. You don't love your neighbor. And your heart's cold on God. In other words, maybe my emotions are not lying to me. Maybe they're not amoral any more than my desires are or my behaviors. But maybe my emotions are speaking to me about the turmoil of my soul, and that emotions are actually the language of my soul. So why am I afraid? Why do I feel rejected? Why do I sense jealousy? Why are my desires for the other tree? Why am I sick in my soul? Why do I go to church, pay my tithes and worship, and still feel nothing exhilarating about God as far as pleasure and delight is concerned? It takes brave people to be healed. We'll get back to that. Well, what about this guy over here? The prodigal son. How in the world, let me tell you the difference. Soft heart, cold heart. Humility, arrogance. How do you get back to Eden? How do you get back to Eden? Some of you have tried 100 times. How do you get back to Eden from the pig pen? How do you stop the contemptuous behavior? How do you stop the illicit desires? How do you stop the merry-go-round where you feed yourself things that never satisfied you the first time? How did you get past wanting to hide your nakedness and your vulnerability and your neediness? How do you get past wondering where God was? How do you get past shaming God? How do you get past accusing God? How do you get past all these things you feel? How do you get past the act of disobedience? How do you get past the muck and the mire of all the people you betrayed? How do you get past the Garden of Eden? And how do you get back to Eden where your heart was tender? Where you loved God And your desires were for him. And your pleasures were for him. And your delight was in him. And your self-esteem was in him. And you knew no nakedness. And there was no shame. How do you get back to, can you even get back to this before he comes? In many ways, yes. Where does it start? The prodigal son teaches us. Where does repentance start? Now you have to know what the danger is here. The younger son repented, humbled himself in the pig pit. The older son only gave penance, said, I'll fix this. Penance is nothing but false repentance rooted and grounded in the wrong tree. And so many of you are beating yourself up over a daughter you gave up years ago. You're beating yourself up over a relationship that didn't work right. You're beating yourself up because you don't read the Bible long enough. You're beating yourself up because you've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you still hadn't got it 20 years later. Repentance begins in the belly. Where you want God more than anything else. And the rich young ruler woke up. And inside of him, he noticed that sin was degrading. He said, I'm a Jew, and here I am in a pig pen, and I'm eating the stuff that pigs eat. Even my father's slaves eat better than I do. And so there's something about when God begins to supernaturally intervene in your dysfunction. The first thing you're going to experience is there's going to be a sense of repentance in your belly, and you're going to realize that that God is nothing but a liar, and this is the one true God of Israel, this one right here. That when I was with him, I didn't desire the things that I'm desiring today. When I'm with him, and that's why you better be careful with greasy grace. When you really know God, you don't ask God how much sin you can live in and then see if you can still make it to heaven. When you really know God, you walk right for him. It's called holiness. The old folks used to call it sanctification. You want to know why? It's because when you really know God, there's something that goes on in your belly. As the deer panteth for my heart, the water brook, so my heart longeth after thee, O God. There's a birth that takes place that's rooted in humility and rejection of trying to put something that doesn't belong there that never fit. And finally, you get the heart of God and you find that it fits, and then you find your desires again. You find your pleasures again. You find your purpose again. You find your innocence again. Repentance begins in the belly, and then it has this recognition in the pig pen. I'm hungry. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm not hungry for a good party. I'm not hungry for illicit sex. I'm not hungry for a bottle of Jack Daniels. I'm not hungry for a good church service. That it alleviates my pain for a moment. I'm hungry. And the things of this world are not satisfying. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to be naked and not ashamed. I'm hungry for the desires that are holy. I'm hungry for pleasure that doesn't make me feel guilty. I'm hungry for delight and play and beauty. Oh, I miss beauty. I miss innocence. I'm hungry. I wish this prayer was a prayer that only the backslider would pray, but my heart is broken this morning because it's the prayer of too many saints. I'm hungry. I give God one Sunday out of a month. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I don't have enough. But God will use my dollar. I'm hungry for a marriage that works. I'm hungry for a religion that works. I'm so disappointed where life has led me. I'm hungry. I'm so hungry for something other than what I've got. I'm so hungry. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. Those that come to God, he will in no wise cast out. All of you are broken, weary, and heavy laden. Come to me and I'll give you rest. I'm so hungry. How can so much eating of the world cause me so much thirst? How can living half in heaven and half in hell cause me to be so hungry? All I do is eat. I got a new car. I got a house at the lake. I make more money than I've ever made, but I'm so hungry. It'll start in your belly, and then there'll be a dissatisfaction with pig food. And then a profound humility will come upon you, and you will admit your neediness. And it's so funny how pig pens and how strong men lead us back to the Garden of Eden. Jeremy, I know this is off the cuff, but there's an old song that says, I need him. Oh, I need him. I don't care if you just got to say the words. That's the song I want. But the squatter and the pig pen, it led me back to the same place in the Garden of Eden. I want you. I'm naked. I'm bruised. I'm scared. But I'll face your rejection before I live one more moment with a strong man or another second eating the food of pigs. And this is where I'm going to set you up for next Sunday. When Adam and Eve chose the wrong fruit, when the young boy came home, what did the father do? What did the father do? What were you told the father was going to do? Shame on you. You know how many times I've healed you? You know how many times I've forgiven you? You know, you're no good. You were told that if you ever met God and he finally saw you for who you really were, he would reject you. That's why you've spent your whole life like this. Spiritually. But in this story, that's not how the father acted. Oh, the first thing he did is he wept. When he saw his son coming from afar off, he wept. He did something unbecoming to a Jewish father. He lifted up his skirt and he ran. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if you only knew where we were going this month. Oh, if you only knew. The father wept and said, look, he came home. Look, he acknowledged the hunger. in his belly. Look! Here comes my boy! And then he gets there. He hugs them. They lied to you. He restores them. He puts a ring on his finger and the best coat. And isn't it interesting that the religious one said, I've been with you all the time working. And you never even gave me a goat. You know what the father said back to him? He said, the problem wasn't that I didn't have a goat to give you. The problem wasn't that I wouldn't have given you a goat. The problem is you were too arrogant to ask for one. He weeps. He restores. And then he celebrates and throws a party. What happened here? What'd you do, baby? Who told you you were naked? I never wanted this to happen. I never wanted you to feel this kind of lack. I never wanted you to feel this kind of despair. I didn't want you to sense this kind of rejection. I never wanted this world for you. But come here. And he tenderly takes them out of the garden and he kills animals and he puts clothes on them to banish their shame. And then the prophet said, from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. And then he says, I'll be right back. I will fix this. Because that is not my plan. Don't ever think God's got a plan B because he doesn't. And so what's your point? Only kindness will dispel darkness. We might want to rethink reconciliation and getting stronger in Christ. Because how does God open the human heart? Religion says, with force. Faith says, with kindness. The Father's prodigal son said, it was the kindness of God that led me to repentance. Adam and Eve said, it was the kindness of God that led me to repentance. That gives me the permission to walk and to change my life as I put the scriptures in me and I learn how to live again. It's kindness that transforms you and changes you above everything else. So how do you change? I'll meet you there next Sunday. You receive the kindness of God. If you're in here and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you this morning, and you're hungry, you're hungry for more of what of God than what you got. And you know that the same old tricks and pony shows aren't going to work. I'm going to count to the three and I want you to come and stand right here and I'm going to lay hands on you. God's going to touch you and the Holy Ghost is going to come in this place like a 747 this morning. On the count of three, if you're hungry and you want God to open your heart again, how does that happen? How do you get back to the tree of Eden? The kindness of God will lead you. One, two, three. If that's you, come.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.